It's going to be on the screen. Let's say it together. My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says, and my voice will declare the truth of his word. You may be seated. And Lord Jesus, I just ask that you would cover every part. You already have been, but continue to have your way, even in this message. Lord, I know it's a now word. I know that we need it. I know that there will be those of us that listen to it later. I know that there are those listening to it right now, all over, Lord Jesus. But you would take and you would use this message for your kingdom, for your glory, and for us to be transformed and renewed in our minds so that we can obey, so that we can honor, and so we can bring glory to you. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. All right, the title of today's message is Altars and Images. And when I say something like that, immediately the thought could go negative. Oh, we're just going to talk about idols today. That's not all we're going to talk about. Because, you know, we worship God, and our heart can be that temple, that altar for him to dwell in. So there are good things about that too. The other thing I would say is we are made in God's image. That is a good thing, okay? So it's not all bad, but we will talk about that balance of what he wants us to build, what he wants us to have in our life. And so I want to start it off with the fact that we are made in his image. And the first scripture that we're going to look at today is Genesis chapter 1. And it's verses 26 and 27. Genesis 1, 26 and 27 says, "Then God said," say this with me, "let us." Who's he talking to? The angels? Are we made in the image of angels? Are the angels equal to God? Okay, so he's not going to say, "let us." God, the Father, is talking to God, the Son, aka Jesus, and God, the Holy Spirit. Okay? They are all together, three in one. And so when they speak, they say, "let us make mankind in our image." All three parts of the Godhead were present at creation, and this is only yet again another confirmation of that. Remember the first part where it says, the Spirit of God, also known as the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the face of the water before anything was ever made? Okay? And then if you look at John chapter 1, it will tell you that Jesus is the Word made flesh. So when God spoke, Jesus was present. Are you with me? All right. If you're not with me, we're going to show you more in scriptures today. So don't worry. We will catch you up. But he said in verse 26, God said, "let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. This part is very important. Say this with me. Male and female, he created them. The world wants to tell you there's more than just male and female. Guess what? They're wrong. The authority says male and female, so that's the authority that we go off of. All right? You were created with a purpose. So why were we created? In this scripture, we see that not only would we be in charge of or taking dominion over all of the creation that he had made up to that point until he made mankind, but there's a few other scriptures that I want to show you on the why we were created. The first one we're going to look at is Ephesians 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I'm going to read these next couple verses in the English Standard. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." What that tells me is that God has a plan for you and for I. He has good works. And when he says good works, it's not like, you know, me and Travis are talking. It's like, you know what? I want to do good things today. I want to be good today. No. His level and standard of good is far above and beyond our version of good. So we could even say we're going to do some awesome works. because the level of goodness is so much greater than our good. Are you with me? And he prepared them beforehand, for I know the plans that I have for you. All right? Do we align with his plans, or do we try to come up with our own? Well, you know, I don't know if I like God's plans, or I only know part of it, so I better color in and fill in the blanks and help him out a little bit, you know, accelerate the process a little bit. We tend to try to operate according to our plans. But it says, we are his workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus, and he knew about what he wanted us to do before that. So let's stay out of the way. Are you with me? Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7 says, everyone who's called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. We were created for his glory. How? Why? Well, if we're made in his image, how often? I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but think about that. Process this with me. The people in the Bible we see, the people in today's world we see, are always trying to make something and place an image to the likeness of God when we forgot we are the image of God. Are you tracking with me here? He made us in his image. And so when you and I look at each other, it's not, oh, bless you, you're so perfect and you're so awesome. It's bless God because he made you. Bless God because he made you and you and you and you. And all of us have his qualities and his personality as we are called by his name. Now, here's the hard line, and I'm gonna get into this. What the enemy will try to twist and try to create in these last times, the Bible says, is worship of self. If we were not made in the image of God, worship of self wouldn't be so bad. But it's terrible. Because we're saying we, the created thing, are better than the one who made us. Are you with me? So if you're not worshiping money, if you're not worshiping objects, but you're worshiping yourself, like yours is the only voice you can hear, yours is the best thing ever, or even your spouse for that matter, or your kids, you've made an idol. They look like God, they may sound like God, they may love Jesus, but you don't. You've placed them above him in your life, and you've made an idol. Repent. God, I thank you that I'm made in your image, but I do not worship me, I worship you. And when I look in the mirror, I'm reminded not to worship me, but to worship you, because you formed me, you fashioned me. Are you with me today? Okay? I'm not gonna read this one, but here's another one. This one's a little bit longer, but if you're taking notes or if you're following online, my notes are online. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Also talks about the why we were made. Colossians 1, 15 through 23. The next thing I thought about is the power of unity. And I want to show you a picture very early on about the power of unity. I'm not going to read all of this. But in Genesis 11, verses 1 through 6, the Bible tells us a story about unity. It's the story of the Tower of Babel. And the first part of it says that now the whole world had one language and one common speech. And they said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly, accelerating. Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens. And at first glance, you're like, oh, that's sweet, that's adorable. They just want to be close to God. And then you see the next part of it. So that we may make a name for who? Ourselves. Not for God, not to get close to him, not to worship him, not to exalt his name, but to exalt our name, because we're the greatest thing ever, is what they were saying. So that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Now listen to what God says. Verse 6, the Lord says, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. That's the power of unity. Did you know that today, if we choose to walk according to the Holy Spirit, guess what? Holy Spirit speaks one language. Holy Spirit has one divine plan, one purpose, one operation. The Holy Spirit is not out of unity with the Father and the Son. He's in perfect unity. And so what we need to choose today is to align with the unity that is in the Trinity. align with his plans, align with his will. And then as we are unified with him and unified with each other in one common goal and purpose, which is his, there's nothing that will be impossible. Do you see that? And do you see why the enemy wants to break down unity so much? Why he wants brothers and sisters to fight about silly things like, how loud was worship today? They didn't play my favorite song. The pastor's not reading out of the one and only true authorized King James 1611 version. How dare he? Y'all think I'm playing there. There are folks that will even take the word of God and make it an idol. Did you know that you can do that? The word of God requires us to read and study it with the intention of getting close to the one who wrote it, the one who spoke it to life. And so if I esteem a version above another for any reason, I am dangerously close to making that an idol, because now I'm judging you and all you're trying to do is be faithful. You might not even care or understand why you're reading the version that you read. Maybe someone gave it to you. I celebrate the fact that you're reading the word of God. And if God wants to change that, how about we let God do what God does and we keep our mouths shut? Are you with me? Okay. I'll move on. So in this story, and I couldn't get away from it. I got one more for you that we're not going to go into, but I want you, the importance of what I say on Sunday morning is not about what I'm saying. It's about the fact that I pray that you will take the scriptures, you will read them, you will study them throughout the weeks to come, and you will ask God, what do you want to say to me? Not just what Chris said, but what do you want to say to me? Do I align with that? I may not agree with Chris. He's not saying anything wrong, but I don't look at it that way. Study it out. Ask the Lord. And so I'm giving you some extra scriptures so that I pray you would take a little bit of time in your week and you would study them. It really doesn't take that long. And I promise you, you will get a wonderful return for it. If anything, you'll draw closer to Jesus. So study your word. So in the Tower of Babel, we see man's desire to worship something that we can see. And it's dangerously close to culminate in the worship of self. The enemy wants us to worship ourselves. He wants us to view ourselves as gods. Read the book of Revelation. You're going to start seeing a lot of that theme and that thing rise up. And so there's a very good description and way that we can see how the world is moving when the world chooses to exalt self over God. You can have it your way. What you feel is best. What you think is best. No, what we think is junk. What God thinks is best. And my will not supersede his will, okay? In Genesis chapter 32, I want to just nutshell this for you. But in Genesis chapter 32, Moses is up on the mountain. And Christy said, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to go ahead and bust out a dad joke, and some of y'all will get it and some of y'all won't. But Moses was the first guy to download from the cloud onto a set of tablets. So come on, somebody. But while Moses was up there doing business with the Lord, the people were down and they were like, listen, he's not coming back. We got to make a god for ourselves. One of the craziest things that I could possibly think of, and I'm sure there are logical reasons that somebody will say, well, they did it because of this. I don't really care about that. What I'm saying is when I read the word and I think, you know what? If I was to make a god for myself, I don't think I would choose a cow. Just saying, being super transparent, this is what Chris thinks about. I probably wouldn't have picked a cow. I don't think God looks or sounds like a cow. That's just me. He doesn't moo when I talk to him. And so I just thought this was weird, personally. But they decided that, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take all of the loot that we got from the Egyptians, all of the gold and precious things, and we're going to just put them in this thing. We're going to melt them down. And my goodness, this is what Aaron said. I just put it in there, and this is what came out. I'm like, bro, that was the most terrible lie you could have ever possibly said. So lie number one is I put it in there. That's what came out. Lie number two is he pulled the Saul, which I guess Saul, in this case, because he came afterwards, pulled an Aaron. But he said, the people made me do this. The people didn't make him do diddly. Aaron decided to cave and did what pressure caused him to do, and he listened to the wrong voice. Are you with me today? And so when challenged by a man or woman of God, and I pray that you are teachable, please don't say, but the people made me. Just think in the back of your mind, it didn't go well with Saul. It did not go well with Aaron. Now, Aaron had it a little bit better than Saul, but Aaron didn't get to enter the promised land either. These stories are not only real, but they're a testament to us to not do the same things. We say this all the time. Gosh, even in school, back when they used to teach good stuff, would say history is here so that we learn and we don't make the same mistakes. And yet, all throughout history, we make a lot of the same mistakes. Did you notice that? So in Genesis 32, Moses is up on the mountain and they drop all this stuff and they make a golden calf and they say, you are our God, go before us and speak. And then there were some that were even sillier than that. They made it out of wood. They made it out of stone. And God often gets onto them and he's like, why are you worshiping things that can't speak, that can't hear, that have no power? Why? Because a demon convinced them that it did. And they were like, oh, that sounds good. That sounds right. I'll agree with that. And so the next question that I wanted to talk through is, okay, God, how are altars created in our lives? And you can see it not only in them and these stories that I've talked about so far, but we can see it in our own life. What we speak, what we repeat, or what we choose to believe. So the reason why God continuously commands his people to study his word, to understand his commandments. One of the verses that I'll share, I don't know if I marked it down that I would read it, but it's one that I think about often, is I have hidden your words in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've constantly got to be filling myself with the words of God. Otherwise, I'm going to try to believe myself and think, oh man, I got some good ideas. I should do that. Or I'm going to believe the voice of the enemy. And did you know the voice of the enemy doesn't come right out the gate and say, hey, you should do this. You know, it's like, no, man, he's craftier than that. He kind of sounds like your voice. And you're like, oh, that's an idea from me. And often he plays on the things that you like. And it's like, Jeremy, you should do this. Like, spend all your money on more guitars. And Jeremy's like, yes, Lord, come on. Let's get some more guitars. Like, hallelujah. And Candace is like, bro, we have a family. We need to eat. Food ain't cheap. Clothes ain't cheap. That's not God. And he's like, no, I am absolutely certain that was the Lord. He said thee and he said thou. He'll talk the way that you think God talks. He's not trying to get found out. He's not going to snitch on himself and say, this is the devil talking to you. Do this. We have to see that. We have to know that. He wants to be crafty. He doesn't want to be found because he wants us to believe the lie and not follow the voice of God. And if we do it often enough, you need to know and you need to understand. Now, there's obviously no way that you're going to go this way and never return. I'm not saying that. But if you listen to the enemy's voice often enough, you will have a hard time hearing the voice of God. And so you're like, man, why has God been so quiet lately? Well, have you been listening to his voice? He's not going to make you. He wants you to choose him. He wants you to say, yes, I want to do what you want to do, even if it is terrible. Even if it's hard. Even if, like Chris just said, even if it breaks me and it's painful, I want to do what you want me to do. Because yours is the only way, the walk that has any life at all in it, right? His way is narrow. You guys are like, where's Kaya? You know, I'm trying not to hit the curb on the left or the curb on the right. It sure would be nice to go down a wide road, but the Lord God is saying, I've got a narrow road for you. It's going to take all of your attention. It's going to take all of your focus. And you know the best way to go down this road? Kaya and I were talking. He's like, man, driving is interesting. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I have to like maintain focus on a lot of things. I'm like, yeah, you do. He's like, if I look just down at the ground, I start veering. And I was like, I know. So you have to focus on quite a bit to stay, you know, perfectly centered up. And even some of us are like, man, I'll be honest with you, I don't stay perfectly centered up. I either veer to the right or veer to the left, right? If we're being honest, we're not perfect drivers. I should have got a whole lot more amens. Some of y'all are like, I followed behind you on the way to church today. I know for a fact you're not a perfect driver. No blinkers, like all the things, right? We'll leave them unnamed, those who have hit the curb a few times. Yes, the curb is still there. I verified it for all of us. But if his way is narrow, one of the things that it also stresses me out a little bit, but it is a good practice, when new drivers begin to drive and they're trying to figure it out, you notice how they go slower? And they're like, hey, listen, I appreciate your attention to detail, your intent to focus, but you're going really slow. We're going to die because someone's going to run us over. So come on, let's pick it up a little bit. But in the spirit, God is saying, hey, sometimes the pace isn't breakneck. Sometimes it's a little bit slower. It's a little bit more deliberate. And I want you to know where we're going, what we're doing, step by step by step. Are you with me? All right, enough giving any grief to any of our new drivers in the room. I'm sorry. I love you. Please love me. I love that it's been said, one pastor said it this way. He said, words create worlds. What does that mean? Well, Proverbs 18 and 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. We often quote the first part, but we don't quote the second part. I'm not really sure why. But often what you will find each of us doing at one time or another is we'll speak a lot of death. Now, death doesn't only sound like, oh, I speak death to that plant, just die in Jesus' name. That's not what we're talking about. It's the negative things that we believe and say about ourselves. It's the negative things that we believe and say about our families. It's the negative things that we believe and say. I remember a family member who will go unnamed used to always say, if I didn't have any luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. First off, there's no such thing as luck. That's dumb. Didn't say this out loud because I didn't want to get in trouble or get spanked. But there's no such thing as that. And Jesus, as we align and walk with him, will take care of us. So though I may not have everything and ascribe it to luck, I will be taken care of. I will be provided for. And for me, that's enough. Remember, Paul said, in the good times and the bad, I give glory to God. Okay? Here's two more scriptures that talk about our tongue. I love James for this. And so James, like, man, he has like chapters dedicated only to the tongue and how it's difficult to control. So James 1, 26, and James 3, verses 8 through 9 are two of the highlights that I wanted to call out here, because in verse 8 of James 3, he says, no human being can tame the tongue. And so you tell me, Chris, if the word of God says that we cannot contain the tongue, but death and life are in the power of the tongue, what are we to do? Help! I'm glad you asked. We start with our thoughts. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3, it says, we are human. Yes, we are. But we don't wage war like humans do. What do? Verse 4, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We have some dumb reasoning. I don't know why we call it logic, because most of the time it's not logical. But you can't logic your way out of fear. You can't logic your way out of anxiety, because you'll tell yourself, it doesn't make sense to feel this. And you are correct. But that doesn't break that. That doesn't have any effect over that in your life to acknowledge the fact that it doesn't make sense. The word of God, his presence, his power is the only thing that's going to break that in your life. So are you filling your mouth with scripture? Are you filling your mind and heart with scripture? What was one that I remember learning, just one that pops in my mind, this is why we store it in our hearts, it was worded this way because it was King James. So don't hate on me, but what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 56:3. Notice that it flows real well. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 56:3. So if I feel fear, and that's the first thing that comes to mind, I'm a musical guy, and so I like those little rhymey, little flowy things. And so, like, that's easy. And I learned that, like, a bajillion years ago, it seems. I don't even know how old I was, but I was a young guy. And it just sticks with you. Tell me how it sticks with you. Anybody? How does Scripture stay with us? Is it just, I've got just the best memory of all time? I'll claim that in Jesus' name, but that's not why. It's the Holy Spirit. What did he say? I've stored your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. And the Holy Spirit says, out of what you place in your heart, he'll draw from, because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth does what? It speaks. I have these scriptures, so I'll give you those if you're wanting to know where those are. But that's how we do that. It's not because I have an awesome memory. I won't claim that I don't. But it's because Holy Spirit lives in me and he has access to all those things. Well, then you say, well, Chris, if he has access to all those things, why do I need to read the Bible? He can just spout it out. He wants to see you obedient. He wants you to understand. And when you read it, not just that you would know it, that you'd be able to repeat it. He wants to say, when I say this with your mouth, do you know what I'm saying? And you're like, no, I've never read that before in my life. Okay, let's study this together. Let me teach you. Amen? Who better to teach us than the Holy Spirit? If you're looking for anybody else to teach you, guys, come on, you've got the best teacher available to you right here, right now. There's no lines to wait in, no application to fill out, no school to go to. He's right there, right now. Amen? Okay, so continuing in verse 4 in 2 Corinthians 10, he says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture the rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. So it has often been said, Chris, if I have a thought, am I a dirty, filthy sinner? What'd you do with the thought? Did you hold it captive? Did you make it submit to the word of God to test and verify, is it from him or is it from you or is it from the enemy? Or did you just act out everything that pops in your mind? If the action is there, yes, it's sin. If you thought it, it's not sin. Because the thought comes, it's going to assault you, and you get to make a choice. Will I respond as I do with everything else and just do it and hope that it works out? Or will I say, where did that come from? What does God's word say about fear? Let me look. That doesn't sound like it comes from God. I reject this thought in Jesus' name. I do not have a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. And that's what I choose to walk in today. So fear, you can go right back to where you came from, the pit of hell. Have a wonderful time because it feels better here than it does there. Are you with me? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 through 4 says this. For I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. Listen to this. You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. So he's saying, stop doing that. Stop it. If you have Holy Spirit dwelling within you, which you would if you are a child of the living King, because he marks you with his Holy Spirit as like a watermark on a dollar bill that you hold up into the light, you can see it's authentic. That's the Holy Spirit for us, his word says. And so if Holy Spirit dwells within you, you're going to hear something and you're going to say, not real. That's not Jesus. That's not what I was made to believe. That's not what I was taught. That is not aligning with Scripture. It's not aligning with biblical principles. That's just junk. So do exactly that. Flush that stuff down. How was Eve deceived? He took a little bit of truth and mixed it with a whole lot of lie. And so it sounded right. And if you weren't paying attention, you're like, maybe God did say that. But return back to the word. What did he say? And because the enemy added to it and twisted it as he does, he's a liar. Okay? Are you with me? So let's not be the type that happily put up with whatever anyone tells us, but let us be the types that test all things. Are you with me? I'm going to read this one and then I'm going to speed up just a little bit. Matthew chapter 12, 33 through 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. But wait, Chris, I didn't think we would have to answer for anything. What does Jesus himself say? You will. So watch what you say. Repent for it. Be quick to repent. Be quick to make it right as it pertains to you. Be quick to forgive and ask the Lord to help and highlight these things to you so that you can be made right. It's a lot easier to answer for something when he's like, well, I see that you did this. Oh, but wait, Jesus' blood is on that. Do you hear me? Idle words. The stuff that we say and we just rattle it out and we didn't even put any thoughts there. You probably should have thought about that. This is a little bit more. How does that sound? So let's think about it this way. I think about Omniplex. I don't remember, what's it called? Space Museum or something like that these days. And we had the little sound chamber. And you know, if you stood on the other end and you talked in it, it's like you could talk quiet, but it amplifies and it's like, whoa, it's loud. So think about what you say and say it out loud. And if you don't like the way that feels when it bounces back to you, don't say it. Right? And even better, we just got done talking about thoughts. You can do that all right here. As I process this. Nope, that doesn't sound good or feel good. It actually kind of makes me feel icky. Well, you probably shouldn't speak it out loud. Right? What'd Mama say? If you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. Man, Mama was right. Come on. I like this. This was a God bubble, a God nugget. As I was thinking about this message, I was going to bed one night and he dropped this to me. And so I'll just impart it to you, but process this. He says, Chris, you will sound like who you listen to the most. You will sound like who you listen to the most. And the picture that he gave was my children. They kind of talk like Mom and Dad. We're around them all the time. And so they kind of have our mannerisms. They have our jokes, like, bless them. They got my joking ability. Come on, somebody. And then they also got Mommy's joking ability. She's like, that wasn't funny. And so, you know, they're well-balanced is what I'm saying, okay? But they sound like who they listen to the most. What do you sound like? Remember what the word of God says? He said, bad company corrupts good character. Who are you hanging out with? Your character will speak. The verse that I was quoting earlier is Psalm 119:11. If you're taking notes, that's the, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:11. I love that we were saying they had these songs, and I didn't see them until last night when I was loading it, but I just love how it all confirmed with the message. But on this point, it says, what is in you will come out when you're placed in the fire. When you're squeezed, when the pressure comes, it comes out. So how many of you, I don't need a show of hands, have been building something, and the hammer slips, it hits you, what words come out? Is it Jehoshaphat, or is it something else? Which one is it? Come on. That will tell you a good indication of what's getting poured into you. And then you can say, well, Chris, I legitimately was reading about Jehoshaphat last night, so yeah, you know. I'm winding down here, so if the worship team can get ready. The next question, as it pertains to the altars that we build, the altars that we establish, led me to this next scripture. But he said, what are you building with your words and your belief system? Is it what Jesus has shown you or what you've desired? And just as we're talking about the fire, your work will be tested. Why? Because it's built on his foundation. Remember, Jesus is that chief cornerstone. And as a good steward of that, he's going to come and inspect and say, is this up to code? Is it according to the blueprint? Did you do what I said, or did you kind of go wild? You know, what'd you do? He's going to come and inspect. 1 Corinthians 3:11-13 says, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. It will be tested. I want to give you, and this will go somewhat quickly, I want to give you a few scriptures that we're not going to have time to read this morning because I want to make sure that we are diligent in doing what the Lord showed me. But in this section, I was reminded of the scripture. It's found in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. But we're still kind of in that resurrection season. Well, honestly, we always are, but as we just celebrated Resurrection Sunday, obviously it's fresher on the mind, but it says, we, like sheep, have all gone astray. Sheep aren't all that smart. And so it kind of stinks that we're often referred to as sheep, but when you look at what we do, what we say, how we act, all right, that's a pretty good description. Totally. I'm with you, Lord. But he said, we, like sheep, have gone astray. In Ezekiel 34, verses 5 and 6, well, 34 on, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but there's a prophetic word that comes to Ezekiel, and I want to just read a little bit of it here. He says, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. He's talking about bad shepherds, bad men that have come up in the name of a shepherd, in the name of a guide, and they were not guides at all. They were evil. They were after their own selfish desires, and so that's kind of the theming that he's talking about here. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Jumping down to verse 11, for this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep, and I will have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Jumping down to verse 27. Second part of this says, they will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslave them. They will no longer be plundered by nations, nor will wild animals devour them. They will live in safety and no one will make them afraid. I will provide for them a land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land or bear the scorn of the nations. They will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the Israelites, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. The other couple of verses that I had there were Isaiah 53:6 and Psalm 95:10. And this is so powerful because he did exactly that. In Jesus, he fulfilled exactly that. In 1 Peter 2:24-25, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness, because by his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Matthew 18:12-14 says, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go and look for the one that wandered off? This is Jesus saying that. Jesus knew what God said. He was there when he said it. He's done this himself. The other scripture cross reference there is Luke 15:4. But John 10:27-29 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He says, I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. You are safe. You are in his hand. Do you choose to stay there? Are you trying to wiggle free, right? What are we doing? As I was thinking about this scripture and this promise in Ezekiel, and as the Lord kind of colored it as Jesus spoke to the disciples and to the people in that day and age, I was thinking about what are some of the traps that we have found ourselves in as those lost sheep. Some of us are found sheep, but we didn't give up the trap. We didn't give up the lie. We didn't say, God, you can speak to this area of my life. God, you can break off this yoke. You can break off this thought, this idea, this thing. We're still trying to hold on to Egypt, even though he's led us out of Egypt. One of the things I think of often, and I will, if you're hearing the voice of the Lord, you are with me. If you are not, it's okay. I still love you. Hope you still love me. But I won't make friends on this. Some people, when they're in an identity crisis, will say, I can't do anything about it. I was born this way. And to them I say, and that is precisely why Jesus says, I must be born again. I must be transformed by the renewing of my mind, and I must take my cues on who I am and whose I am from him. Because I don't know who I am. He knows who I am. And I must listen to his voice more than any other voice. So Lord, who am I? Who do you say I am? That's what I choose to believe. That's what I want to align with. Romans 12:2 is the scripture. Do not be conformed to the world or to the pattern of the world. They want to tell you, follow this way, be this way, talk this way. And if anyone says anything mean to you, they're hating on you. You just do your thing. And they're wrong. But he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I can't do that myself. Doing it my way, I have to be renewed and think his way. Remember, it's about thoughts. Stop it right at the gate. And then the last scripture as we move into this time of ministry time is 2 Timothy 1:7. He says, I have not given you, for God has not given us, a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Are you operating in power, love, and a sound mind? That's what's available to you. He doesn't want you to be bound by fear, bound by anxiety. Y'all, listen. I need to get real with you for a minute, because some of y'all think that I don't know what I'm talking about in this. For a good, I would say year, maybe year and a half, I quoted every scripture that I possibly could at fear and anxiety, and guess what? It still gripped me. I knew all the things to say. I knew all the things I should do. All my pastor friends were saying, but do this, but do that. And you know what? Every night I lay down my head, I was still gripped with fear and anxiety. And so you say, Chris, what did you do? You're clearly not dealing with that now. I had to stop trying to reason, stop trying to logic, stop trying to apply knowledge to the situation, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to my inner man and break it at its core. Because when you're in those situations, it's fight or flight. And you respond in the way they call it, and I'm not trying to be weird with it, but they just called it a primal way. It's the first thing that hits your mind. It bypasses logic. It bypasses reason. And you feel an immense fear. And the only thing you can do is respond in a certain way. But as I was going through counseling for this with a Christian counselor, and my favorite part about it, she told me this afterwards. She says, while you were dealing with these things, I was just praying in the Spirit for you the entire time. I was like, thank you for that. I didn't know how to do that yet. So I needed some people praying for me as I'm processing it. And I was able to deal with the root. Oftentimes people don't like talking about this either because everybody starts hearing the word deliverance and we get weird with it. Well, God wants you to be delivered. God wants your pastor to be delivered. God wants the people to be delivered. Deliverance is for everybody at all times. That's just the way Jesus rolls. He wants to heal you, spirit, soul, and body. And so she's praying in tongues because I didn't know how to pray in tongues. And I'm dealing with all the stuff that had taken root in my life that I've gotten bitter with, I got jealous with, I got angry with, unforgiveness, all of those things. So what Chris is telling you is I knew all the right things to say. I knew where all the scripture references were. And I'm here to tell you right now that didn't do diddly because it didn't make it from here to here. Are you with me? So have you allowed the word of God to go from here to hear, and you've stopped trying to tell him what he ought to do and how he ought to do it, and you say to him, Lord God, whatever that looks like, whatever healing looks like in my life, do it in me. And some of y'all think I was just playing, but I wasn't. My dad did have heart surgery, and I think about that often. God says, can I do heart surgery on you? I said, Lord, I know it's going to hurt, but yes, do it. Cut that stuff out. Get rid of it. I don't want it. It's going to hurt. I'm counting on it, but do it anyway. Because I don't want it. I don't need it. I don't like it. Ruin me so that more of you gets out. Amen? Is that your prayer this morning? I hope it is. I've got an action for you, and if I can get at least two helpers. Can two helpers come help me? Please, please, please. Two helpers. One on one side and one on the other. I'm going to split these up.
Thank you.
There are pins in the backs of the seats if you need a pin. And I'm going to make this really easy for you so that everybody can be involved. They're going to pass you a piece of paper. And you're going to take a moment to act out from the spirit into the natural, and you're going to write down any lies that you have believed, any ways that you have thought that do not align with scripture, that do not align with who Jesus says you are, what Jesus says you can do, all of the above, whatever lies that you have believed, and they're just nagging at you. You're having a hard time letting them go. You're going to write them down on this paper. So if you say, you know what, I have not forgiven my parents for years, and maybe your parents aren't here anymore, write it down. We're going to make an opportunity for you to be free of that. If you say, well, my children, they don't talk. We don't talk anymore. as it pertains to you, what lie or what thing have you believed or have you held on to that might be a hindrance there? Write that down. We want to break that today. What confusion do you deal with? Well, when I pray or when I read the word, I don't get anything out of it. Write that down, because we're going to break that today. I can't pray for a long period of time. I can't worship or stand for a long period of time. Write it down. Whatever lie that you've believed and you've said out loud or in your mind or in your heart, you've believed it and says, I can't do blah. Write it down. I'm going to give just a few minutes. We're going to have the worship team sing a song, and then I'm going to come back and we're going to do something with these papers.
Oh, yeah, 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 yes. Oh, yes. In the chaos, you stay the peace. In my suffering, surrender anxiety, all the striving has to cease. In this moment, you are the king. This is a gift you are giving to me. A sound mind for the spirit of fear, a sound mind so that I could see clearly. Sound mind for the spirit is here, a sound mind. A sound mind. Oh, yeah, yes. There's a table where we meet in the presence of my enemies. I will listen, I will feast. Every word you are speaking to me, I remember who you are. You're my fortress and you are my guide. I will stand in authority. In Jesus' name, all this darkness will flee. A sound mind full of spirit of fear. A sound mind so that I can see clearly. A sound mind. A sound mind, a sound mind, for the spirit is here. A sound mind, so that I can see clearly. A sound mind, your spirit is here. A sound mind, a sound mind. Oh, you've given me a sound. Over me, command my soul to wake, arise, use this breath to prophesy. Oh, I prophesy, you saved, you healed, delivered me. Jesus' blood wash over me, command my soul to wake, arise, use this breath to prophesy. Oh, I prophesy, you saved, you healed, delivered me. Jesus' blood wash over me. Command my soul to wake, arise, use his breath to prophesy. I prophesy, you saved, you healed, delivered me. Jesus' blood wash over me.
Jesus, for your sound mind. Thank you that we have the mind of Christ, and he is not divided with himself, but he is in perfect unity with himself and the Father. Thank you that we have your mind. All right, I'm going to ask that everyone stand with me. It's going to make this go a lot quicker and easier. Ask Travis and Melina if they'd come up. Candace, if you would come up. Alan and Susan, if you would come up. What we're going to do together, and for those online, in order for you to feel like you have freedom to share what's going on, if you'll send us a direct message so that I can pray about it with you and break that with you and stand in agreement, the purpose of what we're doing is not that you can't do this alone, but we want to stand in agreement with you. And so as you feel led to walk up, find a couple, find a man, woman, or both, the couples, and we're going to agree with you. Now, here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to apply human reasoning. We're not going to say, well, I'm this way because blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you the life story. It's no. You don't even have to show what's on your card. These are lies that I have believed. And today, I choose to align with what Jesus says to me. So you're going to take your card, whichever size that you got, and you're going to walk over to one of the people up here, and you're going to say, will you agree with me? Travis is going to say,
yes.
And then you're going to do this. The dance on it, you're going to give it to the Lord, and we're going to celebrate with you. Are you with me today? For those of you that are online, if you'll send us a direct message and let us agree with you, you don't even have to say what's in the direct message, but say, I've got stuff that I believed. I no longer want to believe it. Will you agree with me? I or someone online will say yes, and we'll do the dance on that too. Amen? All right, so let's do that now. We're going to still have worship going if you want to sing and do all that, but please come forward as you feel led, and let's renounce these lies that we've believed in Jesus' name.
So
Hello? I told myself for a long time that I wasn't worth much, that I felt like I was just a toe in the body of Christ. Well, I broke my toe. And you know what? That toe was mighty important.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance, and he said, do you remember when you said that you was just a toe? Wow, you can't walk. You can't sleep at night because of throbbing. So how important it is to walk as the body. What if you were a knee and your knee was injured? What if you were a hand and your hand was injured? Or your lungs? Or your heart? I mean, your intestines. Your head, every part of the body is so important. It all works together. And all I could say is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. He is so good to us, but I learned a lesson. I learned a lesson. Thank you, Jesus.
Has everyone had a chance to come and renounce the lies that you've believed about yourself? All right. We're going to dismiss soon, but before you go, I think it's important that we do this together. And so I'm going to ask everyone, say this with me. These are some declarations that we want to seal the places that we've been exposed now. We've cast things down. We've come into agreement with Jesus. And so here are some things that he says about you that I'd like you to repeat with me. There's only 9 of them. We're going to keep it short. I have a printout of this if you'd like a copy. So come let me know if you would. But let's say this together. My prayers are powerful and effective. God richly supplies all my needs. I am dead to sin and have a victorious DNA in me. I walk in ever-increasing health. Some of us need to say that again. Let's do that again. I walk in ever-increasing health. Number 5, I live under a supernatural protection. I'm going to color this a little bit further. So when I lay my head down, I will rest well. I will not have nightmares. I will not have terrors in the night. I will not be restless, but I will be full of rest. Okay? I will prosper in all my relationships. I constantly bring God encounters to other people. Amen? In Jesus, I am 100% loved. And worthy, and worthy, and worthy to experience all of God's blessings. Last one, let's say this together. Each of my family members is wonderfully blessed and radically loved by Jesus. Amen? Do you believe these things today? Amen. Let us declare the truth of God's word over our lives and over our families' lives. Amen. Did you know the grace of God flowing in your life will impact them? Did you know that your obedience to God and his word will affect those around you? Live it out and live it loud. Amen. All right. I'm going to ask Alan to pray for us. And then any last minute things, please come let us know.
Father, we thank you for your word. That's Jesus. Father, let him live big in us today and all this week. Let the word become alive to us as Jesus lives through us. In Jesus' name.
Love you guys. You are dismissed. If you have anything else, please come let us know. But we love you, and we will see you next week.